Hi, it's DGAF. And this is season 4 of Sessions. Let's get it this year. Let's save the princess, right? Sound. We take a shot in this one. Let's get it. Week 27 of 50. Lance Armstrong. The Session. It's 10 p.m. on Tuesday, July 6th. I'm at the Ocean's 11 bar. I just came from all-you-can-eat Korean barbecue with Patron Hunter the Punter. We are both stuffed to the point of being lethargic. Hunter is downstairs checking out the games. I just ordered a Jameson and diet. I feel like I need it to help me digest, to give me a little energy before I go play poker. There are two 2-5 games and one 10-20 game going. That's what it shows on Poker Atlas. Most likely the 10-20 is private, however. You know, because it's the year 2021. Hunter walks into the bar and informs me that not only is the 10-20 no longer private, it was earlier, but the game organizer has picked up apparently, but it's also must play, shorthanded with quote-unquote no good players. Hunter also informs me that the minimum buy-in for this game is 2K, a number likely chosen to keep the grinders and shot takers out when the game starts to wind down and seats start becoming available to the public. I get this. I do. But also, I am more a grinder and shot taker than I have been in about 15 years. That's just the story of a man on the comeback trail, trying to get back to where he spent most of his career. I open my wallet and count out 17 $100 bills. "Can I Venmo you $300? Hunter says sure. A minute or two later, I take a final sip of my cocktail, set the glass down on the bar, and I head downstairs for what I like to call a turning point session. Run hot for a few hours, and I might never look back. I might never play red chip poker again. Seriously. Run bad, though, and it will set me back quite a bit. I will be grinding red chips for a while before I can take another shot. Now, let me take a sip of this coffee and tell you what happened. Actually, let's start with a roll call. There are 8 people seated, and so it was shorthanded, but I sat, Hunter the punter sat, and another player sat. Anyways, going around the table, in the one seat, you have Neymar. And who's Neymar? It's just a Brazilian pro slash grinder, and there were two that were Ocean's 11 all the time. I called Ronaldo and Ronaldinho, and this guy I just called Neymar. And he's short stacked. He has the look of someone who's been running bad in this game and, you know, probably almost certainly bought in for 2,000. And then C2 is your protagonist, Dragon Man, taking a shot in for exactly 2,000, 100 big blinds, which is also the minimum buy-in. C3 is a gentleman by the name of Thor. This guy is a character. I go way back with him. We used to battle. He has many empty cocktail glasses next to him. Seat 4 is the triathlete pro. He is at Ocean's 11 most nights, plays very solid, plays well, one of the biggest winners in there over the last few years. Seat 5 is Hunter the punter. He's kind of shot-taking too. I think his role is fine to play this game. He just doesn't usually play this high unless the game is great, which it is. And people like Hunter the Punter are the ones that end up with all the money. They game select, they manage their money, all that stuff that I've always been allergic to. Seat 6 is Evander. That's not his real name, but he's the real deal. So we'll call him Evander. And if you don't know what the real deal is by now, I can't help you. Seat 7 is a very solid recreational player that's been playing in the area for a long time, and we'll just call him Solid Rec. Seat 8 is a legend. His name is Lee Salem, and he is very happy to see me when I sit down. I go way back with this guy as well. We've had some epic heads-up battles. We've shared many drinks, and we've just played a lot together, and he hasn't seen me in a while. It's because I've been stuck in red chip hell. Anyways, the game is 10-20, but it's also $20 ante on the big blind. And I post in the big blind. So I put $20 in front of me and $20 in the middle. And I fold, and I'm stuck $40. And every hand does matter when you only have one bullet. Okay, the very next hand, the second hand dealt to me on the small blind, I get pocket kings. Sound guy, that's your hand, right? And Evander limps. Evander is going to be in there almost always. And it folds to me, and I go to 120 with pocket kings. That's 6x. Evander calls. We have $290 in the pot. The flop comes ace 9-3 rainbow. Not ideal. I check. Evander checks. The turn is an 8, and now it is two-tone. Or, I'm sorry, now there's a flush draw out there. And obviously a bunch of straight draws as well. So ace 9-3 rainbow, check, check, 8, and now there's a flush draw. I bet 120 into 290. Evander calls. He's going to call with many, many hands. And the river is an 8. So ace 9-3 rainbow, 8 with a flush draw, and then 8 flush does not get there, obviously. And there's 530 in the pot, and I check. And Evander bets 200. And this is a pretty easy call, right? You don't expect to win more often than you're going to lose. But, you know, with 530 in the pot and he's betting 200, you only need to win, you know, once in 4.64 times for this to be a plus EV call. And this dude, Evander, is just, you know, it's just, there's no thought goes into this. You just have to call. It's easy. And he has 8-5 offsuit. So played two hands, or been dealt in two hands, and I'm down $490. I lost a quarter of my stack with kings on the second hand dealt to me against Evander. Not the start you're looking for. Unless you're a hater, then it's a perfect start. Anyways, my face, I can feel it. It's burning up already. I've been in the sun a lot lately at this point in the story. Plus, I can feel my blood pressure rising. True story. Now, Evander is up doing something, and I open Queen 10 offsuit to $60. And the solid rec defends the big blind. And I have the flop comes 9-6-3 rainbow. I have Queen 10. He checks, and I go for a big sizing here. I don't want him calling. Well, I bet 160, right? So it's a slight over bet. And he just thinks for a second and folds. And I like this sizing. And this is how I survive in poker. I just go for it every single time it makes sense to. And I'm down 400 after winning this, you know, $90 here or whatever I won. Okay, now I overlimp from the small blind. That's the next hand I play. So I just fold for a little bit, fold my big blind. And now I'm the small blind with pocket threes, and I overlimp. There's, you know, Evander limps, other people limp. Everyone's trying to, you know, flop a hand. And I have pocket threes, right? And it's five ways. And the flop, and that means there's 120 in the pot because there's an ante also. And the flop comes down ace, six, three, rainbow. So that's set watch for you old school sessions listeners. Bottom set, it's a nice flop. I check, everyone checks to Lee Salem, the legend. And he's a crafty player, savvy player, old school. And he bets 60. And on ace 6-3 rainbow, it's a little too dry for me to check raise. And game flow isn't correct for it. I'm not drunk at all. If I'm drunk, I can just check raise here. But I'm not, and you know, I haven't been caught bluffing at all. Anyways, I just call and hopefully someone behind me, you know, is going to go for it in some way. And they all fold. Oh, well. So I flopped the set in limp pot, pocket threes on ace, six, three, rainbow. It checked to the last guy. He bet 60, which is about half pot. I called. The turn's a five of diamonds. And now there are two diamonds. And I was going to bet 80 on a turn that didn't make the board wet. And just hopefully induce a bluff from Lee. But with this card, I need to protect my bottom set. And I bet 160. And he should have a lot of hands that have equity and that aren't going to fold. And he calls. So I already knew I was going to lead. I was going to stop and go with my bottom set on the dry board. But I was going to do it small, hopefully to get called wide, or even better, have him bluff it off to me. Right? It looks like an ace. And, you know, he's old school and has plenty of money. And he sees that I only bought him for 2K. Hopefully he's going to try and punish me. It's not what happened. The turn made the board wet. And so now I had to size up. 160. He calls. He has some sort of equity, some sort of draw. And the river is a five. So ace, six, three, rainbow, five. And there's a flush draw, a little river, another five. I have a boat, bottom boat, and I check. When you think someone's on a draw and the draw bricks, you don't want to be value betting here. And he forcefully throws out $400. Okay, even though this guy's very savvy and old school, I just know this is just almost with any player ever on this board, it's a bluff, right? And so should I just call? It would be really embarrassing, I thought, to just call, and it'd be bad for the game. And there's a chance he has a five. There's a chance he has trips and that I was tricked by his forceful bet. Anyways, it's kind of a free roll to shove, and I do. I remember, I don't have much money, and he folds fast. I'm up $320 after that hand, so it's nice. Flopped the set in a limper, and I don't believe my opponent had much, but up $320, things could be worse. And then I have to fold for a while, just pretty much every hand, and the game's moving quickly, and it's $50 every orbit, right? And blinds and antes, and maybe I flatted one raise and whiffed, but I go from up $320 to about even. And why am I paying such close attention to my stack? Because that's what you do when you're taking a shot. And it's a shot used to mean something different. It used to mean white chip, no limit, 100, 200, something like that. Well, at this point, it means 10, 20. But sometimes you got to make comebacks in life. And then I get 6-5 of diamonds. And the straddle is on. Evander has straddled, and I have a tight image. I've been folding more than everyone else. I opened 6-5 of diamonds to 120 because we're playing 10-20-40 at this point. And Evander defends the straddle. And the flop comes queen, jack, 9, and it's all black. So that's a whiff, but he doesn't necessarily have anything here. He checks, I check back. I do like this. I will be able to get a read on the turn, a better read, and I'm not lighting money on fire in case he has, you know, a 10 in his hand or a pair or anything like that, a king. Well, the turn's a jack, and he checks again, and my read is that he doesn't have anything, and I bet $130, and he snap folds. So I just win with nothing, and if you listen to this podcast a lot, I do. That's all I do. I mean, I'm not saying I don't make hands, but I do that. That's where my earn is just bluffing incessantly. And I'm up about $150, and I'm gonna take a sip of coffee and tell you about my worst play. So we're shorthanded, and the triathlete pro opens the button to $50. That's his sizing in this game. Some people like it. I prefer a different sizing, whatever. And I defend with 8-7 offsuit, $30 more. I already have, I'm the big blind plus the ante, and I defend $30 more, 8-7 offsuit. This is pretty standard, right? I don't need to be 3-betting here with this hand against this player, no. But I do need to be defending. And the flop comes king, 9-7, and it is rainbow. And I have bottom pair and some backdoor stuff. And I check, and he bets 40. Call. The turn is a 6. And now I am open-ended, and now there are two clubs on board, and I check, and he overbets. Interesting. So he bets like 300 and something. And I start to think, and I just don't think it all the way through. I just wasn't locked yet at this point of the session. And if you say you're locked all the time when you play poker, I don't believe you. And I'll tell you that I am not locked often, and sometimes I am, and that's when it feels the best. But I'm not quite locked here, and I just opt to fold. And then I just, you know, like a few minutes later, I realized this was just really bad. So he went small bet, big bet on me, something that many people do, something I've been doing forever. And it is tough to play against, but on this texture, it's just so bluffy. I should just always call here, and then he's not going to bluff the river. So I come in with my pair, and I could make it straight. It was bad. It was my worst play. It's not the end of the world, right? Just and when you're taking a shot to, you know, fold a little bit more often than normal. But I do believe his line is just too bluffy. On King 9-7, turn 6, that completes a straight. Why are you overbetting here? Well, he probably has a hand like ace 8 of clubs, if I had to guess, or, you know, 10 jack of clubs. He has a draw for sure, a big one, but I should call because I have a pair and a draw. And that's fine. And now, Lee asked me if I turned a straight in that hand against him. So, I don't know. I said, if you want me to tell you when we leave, one of us leaves, I'll tell you, but I'm not telling you now. And he said that he turned a straight. So, now I'm not going to tell him anyways. Once, you know, I love this guy, but once he lies to me, no, I'll just make up some story. Okay, and then he leaves, and then the solid wreck leaves, and Thor gets up and goes and checks in at the Ramada. So a lot of people are up. So that means we're really short, and I'm going to open Jack 4 of diamonds. And that's what I do to $60, and Evander defends. And the flop comes pretty good for me. It's 9-4-3. It's all black, but it's two-tone. And I have second pair, good kicker with Jack 4. And he checks, and I bet 70, and he calls. He seems weak. And when I say people seem weak, I don't know. I'm a soul reader. I just know when people are weak or strong by how they call. I don't bet for information, but I bet and get information almost every time. And so he calls, he's weak, and the turn's a red king, and he checks. And he could certainly have a king something, but I'm going to bet 110 because even though I knew I was good on the flop, I have to protect my equity, and he folds. And now I'm up one white chip and some brown chips, right? I'm playing pretty well. I've made one bad play by folding the turn to an overbet, but it's okay. I need another sip of coffee because my throat is asking me to take one. Right, sound guy? All right, next hand of note, Evander min raises to 40. He doesn't straddle this time, he just min raises to 40. And, you know, he's in there having fun, and he provides all the action, and he's a pretty chill dude, and sometimes he'll go dark 200. Well, he min raised to 40. I'm not sure if he looked or not. And then Liquid Wreck calls. Who's Liquid Wreck? So the guy that was in the 7th seat before, or the 8th seat, whatever you want to call it, we're playing 8-handed. He was solid wreck, right? Just very solid player. Well, he left and was replaced by someone who wasn't solid. So call him Liquid Wreck. He calls the 40. I have ace-jack offsuit on the button. I go to $200. And this is correct. And Thor, who's back from checking in at the Ramada, calls in the small blind. So he cold calls the 200, and then those two gentlemen, Evander and the Liquid Wreck, call as well, right? And Thor flops a pair plus flush draw with 6-5 of spades. That's what he cold called with in the small blind. And the Liquid Wreck flopped top pair good kicker with King 10 offsuit. And me and Evander flopped. Thanks, Henny. And anyways, Thor and the Liquid Wreck got the money in. The Liquid Wreck, he actually bought in for less than 2K, and no one said anything, and that's fine. So he was short, and they got it in. And as mentioned, Thor had a pair and a flush draw, and the Liquid Wreck had top pair, good kicker. It came 10 high with two spades. And what's important to note about this hand, not that the guy called the 40 with King 10 offsuit and then called the 200 last to close the action, it's that Thor, who was a borderline pro at some point, is cold calling in the small blind with 6-5 suited, and that's tough. That's it's just notable, I think. And now I'm stuck a few brown chips, and yes, I'm keeping track closely because this is what you do when you take a shot. And now I get pocket sevens, and the straddle is on, and that's Evander. He's straddling, and a couple people limp, and I limp with sevens. Yes, that's correct here. And then it gets back to Evander, and he goes to 210 from 40. And a couple people call, and I call, right? And actually, yeah, someone calls, I call, and then the triathlete pro calls out of the blind. And so we got four-way bloater, 210 each. I have pocket sevens, and the flop comes 9-6-7. Two-tone. So set watch yet again, second set in this early, early on in this session. And this one is in a nice pot, a bloater, and it's a wet board. And he leads $400, and the other person folds. And so he leads 400 into, eight something. And it was probably the liquid wreck that was in there. He folds. And what to do with pocket sevens on 9-7-6 two-tone? I think I have to raise here. I know I do. And I go to 1,100. It's not even 3x. And triathlete pro folds, and Evander snap folds. So he just had nothing. And the board is just too wet to flat. You got to raise. And 1,100 is the right sizing. It's so what that I didn't get a double. I've had two sets, and they're both against nothing. But at least this one was in a bloater. And I'm up $1,000. And one double up from here, and it might be floodgates. It'll, let me play how I really want to play in this game. Let me feel comfortable that I'm not, when you're taking a shot and you're buying for 100 big blind, any hand could be your last hand, right? And so I'm up 1,000. I got 3K. And let me, let me get one double up. And then it really could be, I could win 20K in this game, more. And then I could really never look back. Anyways, the game, Evander said, fuck the $20 ante, right? That was on when they started the game. It was 10-20, $20 ante. He said, fuck that. And Thor said, okay, yeah, fuck that, but make sure it's 10-20-40. And everyone agreed. Okay. So now we're playing a bigger game, 10-20-40. And now is the time to run good. Okay. And, Evander opens to 150 and the liquid wreck calls, and I overcall with ace 10 offsuit. I could 3-bet, but you just, when you're taking a shot, you don't, right? You just play a little slower. And Thor in the small blind goes to 1,050. Okay, and I started the hand with 3K. And they fold, and I just fold my ace-10 offsuit. And he shows pocket threes. So Thor is getting after it. This is how I remember him. He's having a good time on this night. This is a very volatile and good game. And not, I could definitely 3-bet there if I have a bankroll. I don't. So I didn't. And I stayed alive, right? If I 3-bet there and it's just, I lost 150. And that's what, if you call preflop and you miss a flop, it costs you 140 or 150. That's what these guys are opening to. I'm opening to 120, but still, it costs a lot, right? And anyways, people will say like, oh, I grinded it up and then I lost a pot. And you're like, well, what do you mean you grinded it? Like, well, I made two pair this. Well, I'm going to tell you, I grinded my stack up to exactly 34-30. And when I say I grinded up, I mean, I just manufacture. I just find the spots when everyone's weak and I take the pot. That's grinding it up. And how do I know I had 34-30 exactly before this hand? Well, I didn't count, during the session, but I know what I had exactly after this hand, so that's how I know, if that makes sense. And this is going to be my best play, which deserves one more sip of coffee. Great coffee today, Sun Guy. Okay, best play. I'm the 40, so 10-20-40, I'm the 40, and it folds around somehow, and to the small blind, and it's Neymar. And Neymar was short stacked when I got there, and I didn't relay this. He got stacked, and then he said, I'm going to go home and get more chips and come back, and he did, and he bought him for $2,000. And he's kind of been playing like a corpse. People react differently to being stuck, and he's kind of playing like a poker corpse. Well, he opens in the small blind to 140, okay? And, you know, he's a pro, a grinder, whatever you want to call him. And the big blind, who's the game organizer, came back from the bar and set. He folds, and I have ace of spades, queen of diamonds. A really good hand, I think, demands a three bet in this spot. Straddle versus small blind. I think I have to three bet. I don't think there's even any question. I choose 440 for my sizing. He opened to 140. I go to 440. He tanks for a little while and calls, which doesn't mean that much. He does a lot of posturing. When he opened, it meant he had a good hand. He's not spewy at all. And then when he called, that he called my three bet, it means he has a better than a pretty good hand. But he doesn't have a great hand, right? Or he would four bet. He's played with me plenty. He understands, hopefully understands that we're, not even 100 big blinds deep. And so, yeah, that's what his range is. It's pretty good, but not super great. Okay. And yeah. And, the flop comes queen 8-6 with two diamonds. I have ace queen with the queen of diamonds. So that's top. He checks. I bet $330 into $900. I like the sizing. I just do. In this situation, I do with these stacks, all that. And he calls. I expect him to call with many hands. The turn is a five of diamonds. And now he leads. So he did the thing I did when I flopped the set, where he called and then led when the board got wet. And he leads 660 into 1560. So I have top pair. And now I have top pair, top kicker in the third nut flush draw. And he's taking a pretty strong line. He may think it doesn't look strong, but it's strong. But my hand is very strong in a blind versus blind situation. Three bet pot, top with the third nut flush draw, and he's betting 660 into 1560. I call, right? There's no need to raise. Not only do I have a really good hand, but I also have a really good draw. And the river pairs the board. It's a six. So just to rewind this hand a little bit, I'm the 40. I have 34, let me see here, 34.30 in my stack. So I'm up 14.30 in this session. And I'm the 40. And it folds to Neymar, who's been kind of beaten up on this night. In the small blind, he goes to 140. And the big blind folds. And I go to 440 with ace, spades, queen of diamonds in the straddle. And I think this is pretty standard. And the flop comes, and he tanks a little bit and calls. The flop comes queen 8-6, so I flop top, and there are two diamonds, and he checks, and I bet a little more than a third of the pot, and he calls. Okay, and the turn is a five of diamonds. So he leads 660, which I don't love. It means that, you know, it's a pretty strong line, but my hand's just so good, I call. 1560. In there, he bets 660. Sure, I'm calling. The river pairs the board with a six. And now he, thinks for a little bit or postures for a little bit and goes all in. And I have $2,000. He has a little bit more than me. And the pot is, you know, 2880 before he shoves. So it'll be 4880 for me to win and, you know, call $2,000 to win 4880. That means I need to win once in 3.43 times for this call to be plus EV. And that makes it a pretty easy call, right? Blind versus blind, all things considered. Well, if you really want to make it in poker and you're not a sun runner, which I'm not, you got to go beyond that. You got to think harder. You got to go to a psychological level. You got to go to physical tells. And yes, if this is against an unknown and we're playing with plexiglass and I can't see anything, you have to call here. There's just no choice. And this guy was stuck and had to go home to get more money, which would make some people more bluffy, right? But this guy has been more of a poker corpse than a tilter. And And then you have to think, yeah, but it is blind versus blind. And then I start thinking about my history with this guy, and I have called it off every time against this guy. Has cooler than me probably 7 times, right? Like in big situations. And I've called off every time in spots like this, right? And one time I called off with ace king pre and I didn't want to, and he had pocket aces, right? He's always had it every single time. And I've never really gone to the next level with him. I think because he's young, I think young guys just get paid way too much, right? The old, internet kid, they don't bluff. Fuck no. No one does, right? Not very often. The ones that do either, bust quick or make all the money. Anyways, I'm just evaluating this. I'm taking some time. I've earned it. I play every hand so fast. In a spot like this, I have to, I have to think about the hand a little bit more than normal. It's an easy call if I don't know him and all this, but now I'm thinking, what is he repping? Which, of course, I was thinking the whole time. He's not repping a flush, because if he had a flush, I know this guy he would have bet an amount and not shoved, right, when the board paired. So other people would shove a flush, right, but he wouldn't. It's just not a flush, and obviously I block some flushes with my queen of diamonds, and so it's not a flush or worse. It's not a straight. It's not like, some weird play pocket kings. No, it's just not. So it's a boat or quads, right? And pocket queens, well, I blocked the hell out of that, and he probably would 4-bet and get it in, I hope, right? We're not even 100 big blinds deep, blind versus blind. So, and it's not 8-6 or 6-5. He's not spewy at all. It's just pocket eights or pocket sixes. That's it. It's either eights full or quad sixes, and that's 4 combos, and it really feels like a fold. And I'm looking at him, and it seems like he's fake nervous. He doesn't seem really nervous, and I just kind of catch out of the corner of my eye, the triathlete pro has big eyes. He is concerned. He seems very concerned, and he's not trying to tip me off. Right, he's not trying to help me in this hand. He's not trying to collude. He just has big eyes because he knows this guy even better than I do. I play with this guy a decent amount, Neymar, right? And he plays with him every night. And he probably knows this guy's never a bluff, right? And he also knows me. And he wants me to win. He likes me, and I owe him money. I've owed him money for a while. I just I owe the game organizer money too. I just always borrowed and then paid back my whole career, no money management. And then I got completely, unplugged for a whole year. Couldn't even fade like a one outer with 20K in the middle. And that's just one of many, many hands that were brutal. And so I still owe some people. And that's what this podcast has been about, is me trying to make a comeback, keep my kids in their situation, put a roof over my head, and grind it up till I can get in bigger games and start paying people back and give them some interest or whatever. I also have, I think, 23 people who owe me money from, that was the culture, is loan and borrow. And, it's just, I wish I didn't owe anyone anything, but I do use this. So I was looking over at my opponent. I'm not like staring him down or anything, just looking at him. And then I caught out of the corner of my eye, the triathlete pro is very concerned, right? And I'm just going to add that, I'm just going to add that to the equation, right? And it probably makes it even more of a fold. And I'm just thinking, these are the ones where it's so easy to just, use the basic math and all that and just call. But if you want to be world-class in live poker, you got to go above that, and you got to dig deep here, and you got to stay in the fucking game and keep your shot alive and fold. And I did, and he didn't show his cards. And it's a really good fold in small blind versus straddle for, when we put 440 in each. There, it's just like, it's a really good fold when you have ace queen and it comes queen high and all that. And he's just only repping 4 combos. And I don't know. I had to dig deep for it. And I used everything. I used, the hand reading, physical tells, history, tendencies. And I actually used another player at the table who his eyes were big because he didn't want me to call. And he wasn't trying to tell me anything. He wasn't keeping a poker face when he wasn't in the hand. I don't know. So I know I put in 1430 in this hand, and afterwards I had exactly 2000. So I just basically lost all my white chips, and I had five stacks of 10. Is that right? No, that would only be 1000. So I had five stacks of 10 and 10 white chips. And so it's easy to see I have exactly 2000, and that's how I knew when I was editing these notes that I had 3430 to start the hand that you just heard about, my best play, where I lost 1430 of my 3430 stack and folded with a really good hand for the last 2K. Because I want to stay alive. I want to keep this shot alive. This game is great. And I want to play a hand very well. And I'm going to take another sip of coffee. I just am. The very next hand, I have, as mentioned, exactly $2,000. Exactly what I bought in for. So, it's been an interesting session. I flopped two sets. One in a limp pot where no one had anything. One in a bloater where no one had anything. And then when the game got bigger, I got cooler by the one guy I could fold to. And I did after losing a good amount because I had equity with my good hand. And so here we are. This is a... And I probably, people know me to be a tilter and a squeezer and all that. And there are three limps of the 40. I'm the 20. And I look down at black aces. This is a perfect bailout spot, right? You get aces in not only a good squeeze spot after a bunch of people limp, and I do this more than anyone, right, is squeeze, but also you can sell tilt. It's just perfect game flow. And I just toss out three white chips, $300. And it's just great. Evander calls, obviously. He was one of the limpers. He was the first limper. And the liquid wreck calls. And Neymar calls, right? Closing the action. He's the button now. He was a small blind last hand. And there's $1,250 in the pot. And I have exactly $1,700 left. And I have black aces. And the flop comes 10-5-3 with two spades and one heart. I have the ace of spades. So on this flop, your only real concern is if someone flopped a set of fives or threes. Sure, someone could have 5-3. It's unlikely someone has 10-5 or 10-3. But yeah, and obviously there are no straights. So someone could flop a set, but this is a pretty easy shove, right? Because the last thing you can do, you cannot check, right? And you have 1700, there's 1250 in the pot. If you shove and they all fold, so what? You're up $1,000 and you protected your equity. And anyways, it's a good spot where you actually are balanced because you would shove many hands here, king, queen of spades, something like that. Any flush draw really that you could have here. And what I shoved, and now the first person to act is Evander. And he asked Thor if he can get some money back. He loaned Thor some money in this game. That's what kind of game it was, a drinking game, a loaning and all that. And Thor says, yeah, I could do that. Here, do you want it now? And he says, well, if I lose, right? He says, I think I have like 21.8% equity, which is pretty funny when Evander says that. And I have to hold back a smile. I don't want anyone to read me at all as comfortable or whatnot. Although I am, right? If someone has a set of fives or threes, God bless them. And I already know he's going to call, right? He's thinking, he's not Hollywooding, right? So I don't have to worry about him being an asshole and like tanking with a set or something, which wouldn't be the end of the world with two players behind. There would be reasons to do it, to try and get them in. But that's not what's going on here. He's just deciding to call the shove or not. And he's a cool dude. And I know he's going to call. And I'm not going to ask him to run it twice. Nope. I just decide in this moment that I need to fucking fade whatever he has. If he has a pair and he needs two pair of trips, I'm going to try and fade that. If he has a straight draw or flush draw, I'm just going to try and fade it just once, right? I really need to get something going in my life. The last 4 years, all I do is work almost every single day. And like, it just takes a turning point, just binking a turning point. And that would be holding against whatever his hand is here. And then I'm going to have 5K in front of me. And then, you know, it could be, I'm going to be a lot tougher to play against. And then if I get to 7K, then I'm going to be even tougher. And give me 10K. And then, you know, I'm just going to put my foot down, right? And I'm not going to ask him to run twice. And he's thinking, and, you know, I'm thinking like, this could be it, right? These guys could be dead after this hand. And, I was playing shorthanded, multi-blinds, high stakes, while these guys were babies. Like, I invented this shit. Let's go. And he calls, right? And now you have the little quick set sweat, right? If someone behind flopped a set, they're going all in. Well, they both fold quickly. Okay, here we go. And now he asks, run it twice. And I say, okay, of course. You're always going to do what Evander wants to do. Evander wants to change the game, change the game. You want to run it twice? Run it twice. You want to, whatever you want to do. You want us all to tip the dealer $10 right now? We do, right? Just whatever. And so, as mentioned, there's $46.50 in the pot, right? And I turn over my aces after the other two guys fold. I always do this. I'm a gentleman at the table mostly. And he turns over 6-4 of hearts. So he is open-ended and he has a backdoor flush draw. He has 35% equity. I have the other 65. And I already told you what happens if I win this pot. If I scoop, you know what happens. It could be floodgates, right? I'm going to have 5K in front of me, and then maybe I win another pot, and then I'm just going to put my foot down. I've been doing this shit. This is my shit, right? And if we chop, which we're going to do about half the time, that'll be fine. I'll be winning $325 after 2 hours of work. No big deal, right? And you know, after making a really sick fold and saving my stack. And if he scoops, well, I don't even really want to think about that. You know, even though I've been scooped running twice as a sizable favorite a lot since I started this podcast 4 years ago, the reality is variance has no memory. And, you know, so the math says he only scoops like 12% of the time or whatever. And that's like 8-1 shot. And, you know, go to the racetrack. Those 8-1 horses, they don't really win. So let's go, dealer. Let's bink this turning point. Let's hold. Let's hold with the pocket aces against the 6-4 suited on the 10-5-3 flop. And the first turn, so the dealer burns, and the first turn is a queen of hearts. And if I was in this guy's spot, I would think, oh shit, here's the fake sweat, right? Because you pick up more outs. You don't pick up more equity. He goes from 35% to 34%, but instead of just being open-ended, he now has a flush draw with one to come. And it just feels like a fake sweat when you're in his spot. Like, oh, now the river's a brick. Like, you just gave me more hope and the river's a brick. And so, I'm thinking like, is this a fake sweat? Nope. The river is the deuce of hearts. Damn it. So he wins the first board with a backdoor flush. And, you know, at least he wasted one of his straight cards, you know, making his backdoor flush after being all in on the flop. And okay, now dealer, you know, no funny stuff on the second board. And the dealer burns and puts the second turn card out there. And it's the deuce of clubs. And that's it. That's game over. I'm drawing dead now. And I played for 2 hours total and I lost 3 lives. And I bricked the hell out of this turning point session. I flopped 2 sets against nothing, 1 in a limp pot, 1 in a bloater. And then I got cooler when the game got bigger and I got away from it to save my stack. And then I got it in, almost 5K in the middle, and I have 65%. Run twice, get scooped. Yeah, so I will be back, you know, in these taking another shot. And eventually I'll run okay when I do, you know, one of these turning point sessions. But I'm going to need to grind Redbirds again for a while before I take another shot. And fuck, that's not what I was looking for. And vlog watcher, I'll be seeing you soon. So, okay. Now, if you don't mind, will you all walk with me out to my trusty old Lexus in the parking lot, please? Unfortunately, or fortunately, however you look at it, we don't need to go to the cage after this session. but we do need to check the Save the Princess scores and see if this podcast is going to live on or not. Okay, on my giant phone here, the first line under STP, I just go to NevadaGamingCommission.com, NGC.com, and you know, I just go to the STP section. First line says hours 280 of 270. So this makes sense. We had 270 hours logged total this year after week 26. That was last week, and I played 10 more in week 27 this week. Just 2 hours in that brick of a turning point session you just heard about, and 8 hours in the first session I played for this week, which was partly 3-5 at the Venetian, partly 5-10 at the Venetian, and partly DGAF community game at my friend's David house, where we played all kinds of stuff. And now here's the thing. If you want to hear about that three-part session that started at the Venetian and ended in a DGAF community home game, and really, if you just want to be able to listen to all 700 or so drops of sessions whenever you want, including interviews with some people who wouldn't miss here, Garrett Alstein, Matt Berkey, many, many others, you can do so by getting your own RSS feed at patreon.com/DGAFPokerPlayer for $4.22 a month or more. And it's just easy, all of it, you know, typing that in, clicking on it, and then signing up and hooking up that RSS feed, and then joining the community if you think it's right for you, if you think it's something you want in your life. You know, if you are a communal person, if you're more about yourself than the group, you just want the content, that's fine. Zero judgment. You know, you just get your RSS feed and you listen, right? But if you are a person who's more about others than yourself and you want to be part of something special, well, head over to dgafcommunity.com and create a screen name and password. And that's only going to work after your first payment has gone through, FYI. Okay, let me take another sip of this real quick. All right, the second line under STP on my giant phone out here in this parking lot says Poker Rags 638 of 497. Solid. Let's hear who scored points for us in week 27, who the MVP was, and who got Employee of the Week. James in Arlington, Virginia got us a point. Thank you, James. Russ in Singapore got us a point. Thank you very much, Russ. D-Town D-Gen in D-Town, that's Detroit, got us 2 points. Thanks, man. Sean in Windermere, Florida, 2 points. Appreciate it, Sean. Captain Baldbeard, and when you hear screen names, those are patrons. In Hampstead, North Carolina, 2 points. Thank you all. And now let's find out who got most valuable purchaser. Your week 27 MVP is Mario in North Hollywood, California, with 6 points. Thank you very much, Mario. I think this is the first, I don't think you're a patron. I think this is the first non-patron to win MVP in a while. Congratulations and much appreciated on behalf of all of us at Poker Rags. And we got 14 points total this week, a light week, but you know, it's something. And here it says Employee of the Week, Mike Trout. And it says steady grinding. And you need that. You need different kind of players on your team, right? You need the steady grinder. You need the you know, tenacious, all that. And so congrats to Mike Trout. And thank you to everyone who put points on the board towards a fifth season of sessions next year, which, you know, it's going to be hopefully all games like this. And all of you who have put points on the board are literally part of the story. And if you listening would like to become part of the story too, by putting points on this board to hopefully keep this thing going, and or you just want the most comfortable clothing on the fucking planet, head over to pokerrags.us and just live your life. Click, shop, enjoy, and remember, anything from the DGAF page, including Cinny's Nothing design, puts 2 points on the board instead of one. Okay. Just a few more scores to check real quick, and then we're out of here. I'll get in my trusty old Lexus and I'll, you know, redline it back to my granny flat a little bit on tilt. Okay. The third score under STP, it says results 66 of 55. So We lost both sessions this week, and they were both three life losses. And wow, how quickly all the momentum can be just crushed. And that can happen in poker. Anyways, we are now 38-16 on the year. 38 wins, 16 losses, and it's back to red chip hell for me, unfortunately, until I get my stake roll back up. I was close to being off stake, to, you know, playing higher, and then, you know, Brick City. And you usually don't hear about poker players after this. Well, maybe after they brick once or twice or three times, but, you know, the ones that have bricked turning points as much as I have, you don't hear about them. They're gone. But you're going to hear from me because I'm a cockroach. And by next year, as mentioned, I plan to only be playing games of this size or bigger. Yeah, so stay tuned. Okay, the four score under STP, it says Patron's 228 of 270. So we're pretty far off pace, but let's just see what happened. So someone signed up. And, you know, we got the 4 points for them, and then they listened to whatever they wanted to listen to and canceled. Whatever. Minus four. Okay. We got the four, you know, a different week. And then Sound Guy, who I fuck with a lot because I love him. You, Sound, love you, man. He was at 33-33, like a weirdo, and he went to 42-20, which is not weird at all. Thank you very much. And both those numbers, weird or not, are extremely generous. And then another person deleted and did not leave a reason why. It's okay. So we start off with minus eight. And then, but we got a raise, and that was nice. And then Nike AGC MOC, which is a Patron, was at 422 and went to 1688, which is a nice raise for me and adds lots of perks for that person. Now they can get on Slack. They can do all the things on Slack that people like to do. And they can play poker and you know, essentially rake-free poker and have sweats in the World Series of Poker, and that's cool. And then we got a new Patron, and that's Armand, and that means we got 4 points. Thank you, Armand. And then Jonathan signed up too. Okay, so another 4 points, and now we're back to even on the week. We lost two, gained two, and got a couple raises, but you only get points for new Patrons. And then Epicurious was at 422 and went to 717. Thank you very much, Epicurious. And yeah, if you just get that thing up a little bit more, like $1.27 more, you'll be in Slack if you want to. And then Benjamin Adler. And Benjamin Adler is a straddler. That means he came in at 844. And this is a close friend of the Savages. And I've already hung out with this guy. He seems great. And I think he's going to be an amazing addition to the community. Thank you, Benjamin Adler, for being a straddler. And then I got a funny message on Twitter from a player that was in one of the games I talked about at the Venetian. And I said, data mint. I don't know what that is. It was just like a younger guy. And he messaged or he tweeted out and tagged me, this is data mint. I'm going to become a Patron for sure. And guess what? He did. And he came in at 1688. So he'll be able to play poker with us and be on Slack if he wants, and just very much appreciated, you know, regardless. And I do like when the young guys don't, you know, they can understand the grizzled older vet, which I am, 47, and they're just, they're cool with it. So welcome and thank you. And then Matt signed up also at 1688, which is nice, right? It's four times the ask, and it's, you know, access to the community and the social media and the poker. And this is a spaceman's friend. Spaceman recruited him. And I do like when pillars of the community recruit other people for obvious reasons. They're going to come in with the right culture and so on. And so we got 12 points this week, and that's good. I need to get 10 every week. That's the pace, and we've been way behind in other weeks. We actually were ahead of it this week. And thank you all who signed up and for the raises too. And then let's do this last one, the fifth and final line under STP. This is the score that matters. This is the consolidation of the four scores we just talked about. And it's called Countdown to 2022. Because if we score 2,022 points total by December 19th of this year, well, Sessions lives on in the year 2022. And this one says 12/12 of 1,092. So we are more than on pace to keep this podcast alive for another year. And we are 54% of the way through the journey. But we're also falling back closer to pace, partly because I, you know, lost both sessions and we didn't have a big week at Poker Rags. So it's a little bit worrisome. If you like this podcast and you want to hear all about my actual eventual third rise in poker, which is happening with or without this podcast, it's happening. Anyways, before we say our goodbyes, I want to give a special thanks to everyone who has put points on this board, this STP board, this Save the Princess scoreboard for this Make or Break Season 4. And I want to thank all the patrons, of course, for their continued support. You all are something. I'm going to drop an interview tomorrow, and then I'll see all the patrons Monday and the rest of you Thursday for week 28 of Season 4 of Sessions, titled I Missed the Exit. And oh yeah, whether you are a patron or not, whether you listen to Sessions Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, or just Thursday and Friday, I highly recommend you fill your Wednesday podcast slot with my favorite podcast, Raising the Nuts. Peace and love. Fuck it. I hope you enjoyed this drop of Sessions. If you are a patron, thank you. And if you're not a patron, well, I don't know what to tell you. Huh? Princess, I'm doing the outro. And that's a lot of stuff. Princess, I know. We're trying. Larger than life. I guess I'm going to need some help then. Princess, I hope the listeners go to patreon.com/DGAF poker player. Because otherwise...